until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Andrew Kados is on the line, member for South Bowen. Morning to you, Andrew, and happy Easter.
Good morning, Mitchell. Happy Easter to you and the listeners as well.
Very good to have you on the program. Daniel Andrews has been going pretty hard over the long weekend about the issue of penalty rates, which again is more of an issue, I think, in federal politics, but he's making it into a state issue, and obviously public holidays is a state issue. But the line of argument seems to be that they're saying, tell the Liberals not to cut penalty rates. Are you planning to cut penalty rates or even pay no penalty rates at all?
Daniel Andrews, we've got an Easter long weekend and he's just playing politics with the long weekend, which doesn't surprise me from this Premier. Our leader Matthew Guy has been very clear, for example, with particularly with government workers, emergency service workers who work on weekends, there's no plans at a state level to for our an incoming Guy government to cut penalty rates. It's been very clearly stated. And this is a scare campaign by Daniel Andrews, just like the Medi-Scare stuff that the feds did at the last federal election, federal Labor. Daniel Andrews should be out there telling us all the good things he's doing here in Geelong and the state. Instead, he's going to the lowest common denominator of politics.
What about public holiday-wise? Do you have plans to cut the, for example, the Grand Final Friday public holiday?
Well, look, it's a holiday that no one wanted and no one needs. The fact that it's on the Friday is ridiculous. And I just don't understand the need for that public holiday. The other holidays that we all have are all fine. There's always going to be a contention around this Grand Final holiday. Our policies will come out in due course there, Mitchell. We haven't made any decisions on that yet, but I personally think the Grand Final public holiday is just ridiculous.
But, I mean, once you give someone a public holiday, it's a bit hard to take it away from them, isn't it?
Well, obviously that's human nature. When you've got something, you don't want it taken away from you no matter what it is. I can understand that, but again, we haven't made any decisions around it yet, but I just personally don't see the point to it that, you know, it costs businesses almost $1 billion a year for that one public holiday, which I just think is quite ridiculous.
Now, I've been talking this morning about V-Line, and the V-Line track in this area has been shut down for works, from what I understand, but I'm told it will be reopened again in time for the Hawks game this afternoon, which a lot of football fans will be relieved about. But I think recent big events have put a lot of pressure on the V-Line services for crowding and punctuality, and the Minister Jacinta Allan was in the paper on Friday talking about punctuality and saying, well, yes, the trains are late, but that's just because there's so many more people using it. So it doesn't really matter too much that V-Line has missed out on its punctuality targets for something like 29 of the last 33 months.
Well, you know, that's Minister Allan making excuses instead of investing in the V-Line system, particularly on the Geelong-Melbourne line, which has seen some of the biggest overcrowding in the state. We're as an opposition, we're serious about growing Geelong. We're doing a population task force looking at that, but we need to improve our infrastructure and our connections to Melbourne. And that's something I'll certainly be very focused on and am focused on. It's not good enough that the train now takes longer than the 1950s. Bob Davis was called the Geelong Flyer for a reason. He was named after that train that did the trip in under an hour. And now we have a situation where over 50 years later, the train is actually running slower than it did in the 1950s, which is just completely ridiculous.
But how do we respond to that? Is it about giving, for example, Wyndham Vale and Tarnit their own dedicated service? Because it seems like the regional rail link was meant to solve all of these problems like punctuality, and it hasn't done that. It's just kept things pretty much as is and perhaps made the crowding worse, if anything, and made the train take longer.
Yeah, look, I firmly agree with you there, Mitchell. I think we need to look at a situation where there are separate trains running that go to Wyndham Vale and Tarnit. To take that pressure off, because I'm sure commuters who get on the train, particularly on the homebound journey, the Geelong-bound journey from Melbourne, would just be incredibly frustrated seeing all those Wyndham Vale and Tarnet people get off the train and then the train running at less than capacity back to Geelong, which is quite a ridiculous situation. And then in the mornings on the way to Melbourne, you've got a full train stopping there and no one can get on the train because there's no space.
Mm.
So I think that with particularly the regional rail link, which has brand new tracks and high capacity signalling on it, it would be a very simple solution to simply run extra services that effectively run independently between Wyndham Vale and Tarnate and Spencer Street Station.
Were these issues foreseen when you were in government? And obviously the regional rail link hadn't opened at that time, but it was under construction under the period of your government?
Yeah, well, that's one that obviously the previous Brumby government had signed up to and along at the same time with the Gillard government. So we effectively delivered the project and delivered it well under budget. But look, it's one of those things. The regional rail link was sort of sold as a solution to all the transport woes, but quite frankly, it clearly hasn't solved the problem. So we need to look at other solutions to try and come up with getting a better service that's more consistent and that runs on time.
Talking about transport, the East-West Link is another issue, and I noticed that Matthew Guy has recommitted to the East-West Link, and as I'm saying to everyone, given that the Westgate Tunnel, as it's now being called, is already under construction, could we actually build the East-West Link? Do we have the resources in the state to actually have both road systems, or would it be, for example, only the eastern section of the East-West Link that you would build, which goes from the Tullamarine Freeway to the Eastern Freeway?
Well, look, if any Geelong resident were to look at the two projects on a map and say which one's the better project, you would pick the western section of the East-West Link any time. Because the problem we have with the Westgate Tunnel, well, we might have a different name. They keep changing the name. Obviously, the government does polling and focus groups, and they come up with a nicer-sounding name every 5 minutes. But this tunnel would start roughly where the Williamstown Road exit is on the Westgate Freeway. So if there's an accident on the Geelong side of the turnoff there, or on the Melbourne side of the Balti Bridge, both the tunnel and the bridge would shut down, whereas the East-West Link actually provides you a separate roadway that runs parallel to the Westgate Freeway from the Western Ring Road. So if there was an incident on the M1, you've actually got a separate road which people could travel on. Sure, that morning it would be pretty busy, but there's an alternative. Whereas the way the Westgate Tunnel, it provides no alternative as an accident on that road. And you're actually funneling more traffic into a choke point.
But are you saying that if you're elected, we'll get both the Westgate Tunnel and the western section of the East-West Link?
Well, it's not actually under construction yet. It needs to get the toll deeds extended because part of this dud deal that Andrews has come up with is basically that they would extend Transurban's tolling deeds in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne to pay so that Transurban would put the money in to fund the tunnel. Now, to do that, they'd have to lay those toll deeds before Parliament, before both houses of Parliament. And certainly we wouldn't support the construction of that project ahead of the western section of the East-West Link. So they would have to get those toll deed extensions through both houses of Parliament, or they'd have to come up with the nearly $5.5 billion themselves, the government.
Now, on mandatory sentencing, you've announced mandatory sentences, if elected, reforms that you would make to the system. And on one hand, it seems reasonable that someone who's committed murder twice would get a minimum of 20 years. But on the other hand, some people that are critical of the policy say that mandatory sentencing doesn't really deter people from committing crime and just increases prison populations.
Well, look, it's those people who are against it. Obviously, why aren't they thinking of the victims of crime and the people who've had crimes perpetrated against them, the people who've lost loved ones or have had their home invaded by masked armed thugs or had their car stolen at gunpoint? These are the real victims of crime that we, as a coalition, as a Liberal National Parties, we want to protect the victims and put their rights ahead of these perpetrators. So, by putting the mandatory sentencing, it takes the discretion away from judges. We're seeing too often these days that certain judges, not all judges, but certain judges really, quite frankly, not reflecting the will of the people and the will of society. When people commit these violent crimes, and particularly a second time, the rights of the victims have to come first. It's as simple as that.
Do you think that this will lead to more deterrence and less crime?
Well, it is a greater deterrent, because they'll have to think twice, because the other side of this too is, if you're a juvenile and commit a violent offence, this carries over to when you become an adult. So as soon as you become an adult, all of a sudden, what would have been a 3-year jail term is now a mandatory, for example, a mandatory 10-year jail term. So people will have to think twice about what they're doing. And Matthew Guy has said, my leader, Matthew Guy, has said that if we have to increase our prison population, our prison beds, I should say, to cater for this policy, then we will do that, because we need to put the rights of law-abiding Victorian citizens ahead of these criminals.
And last of all, water. We've had a lot of rain in recent times and some flash flooding. What does that mean for the desalination plant and the order of water and where all that is at the moment?
Well, Daniel Andrews and Lisa Neville are hell-bent on running this desal plant. Even last week, we had 2 inches of rain here in Geelong. And rather than have common sense prevail and have a contract where we could turn around to Aquasure and say, look, we've had sufficient rain, we don't need water, we've got this absurd situation where Daniel Andrews and Lisa Neville are just simply running that plant for purely ideological reasons. They have to justify their white elephant. It was always built too big. Massive desal plant. We couldn't just build a smaller one to supply Melbourne on demand. They had to build the biggest one in the southern hemisphere. So it's quite a ridiculous situation that we've got 2 inches of rain, and we're going into the rain season. We've got winter and spring to come, and we're ordering water from a desalination plant, and quite frankly, using a coal-fired power station to do it at the same time. It's just quite absurd.
Andrew, thanks for being with us, and enjoy the rest of your Easter break. We'll catch up next month.
Thanks, Mitchell. Nice being on the show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Andrew Katos there, the member for South Bowen.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.